This morning, I'm just going to look at two verses from Isaiah 13. And if I was to give it a title, I would actually call it the danger of blessing. The danger of blessing. I'll just read these verses to you. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read these words. Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I commanded you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. The God who delivered you from Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through the huge and fearsome wilderness, those desolate, arid badlands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions, the God who gave you water gushing from hard rock, the God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of the hard life to test you so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. And so Isaiah is drawing back to the experience of the Israelites. And while we all look forward to blessing and being blessed, there is a danger in blessing that we need to be aware of. But God reminded the people through Hosea, I cared for you in the wilderness. And that's still true today. There are times when we go through what we would call a wilderness experience, where, as it were, the sun is beating down and there seems to be very little shade or shelter from the heat that is beating down upon us. Those times when, for whatever reason, God seems far away from us and our prayers feel as if they're not being answered. But God cares for us in the wilderness. Whatever we are facing, God cares for us. And it's that beautiful reminder in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where Peter says, cast all your anxiety or cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Isaiah tells the people that when I fed them, when God fed them, they were satisfied. A couple of weeks ago, I quoted from an old hymn, and it fits into this thought this morning. Oh, Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And the miracle, the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were all satisfied. The message says they all had their fill. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God fully satisfies. God always gives of his best. He only knows how to give of his best. You know, sometimes you can go out for a nice meal and you can be disappointed. And other times you've come away from a restaurant, you think, wow, that was just a great meal. It was reasonably priced, and I'm satisfied with that meal. God, when God feeds, when God blesses, there's a satisfaction that's deep down within our hearts and within within our minds, because God always feeds and takes care of us. But then there's this challenge, hence the danger of blessing. And so God fed them, God cared for them, God looked after them, but sadly they became proud. It says they became proud, then they forgot me. And pride is that feeling of pleasure and satisfaction in ourselves or with people that we are connected with. It gets us to a place where we think, well, I don't need anyone else. I'm doing okay. Thank you, one another. Thank you very much. But we are told by Paul, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And the familiar verses found in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And we are told, again by Peter, we are to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. I think it's quite an interesting challenge in life, really, as to kind of, in one sense, Elim used to be described as a working class religion, a working class denomination for the people. And many of the people that came to faith 100 years ago didn't have much wealth. Many probably lived in council homes and on council estates. And yet as things developed, particularly after the war, almost the striving that sometimes took place was to be able to afford your own house, to move out of the council estate and to be able to afford your own house. And there's nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong in that at all. But I think what has happened, or what could happen, is the danger of losing touch with those people who still live on the council estates. And we kind of, you know, we used to have this phrase, better yourself, whatever that means. But as people better themselves, I think people tend to move out to a nicer area, a nicer part of the town, etc. And again, we understand all those things, and I've even done it myself. The danger is we can lose touch with the ordinary folk, with the poor and the needy. And when God blesses us spiritually and physically and financially, we need to be careful that pride doesn't fill our hearts and we don't lose that humble touch and that connection with people who are not able to live or afford what we're able to do. C.S. Lewis says this, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Danger of blessing. I don't know how true it is, but I can remember reading about the Welsh Revival, obviously coming from Wales. It's almost a must read for a Welsh Christian to read about the Welsh Revival. And I can't remember whether somebody said it or whether I read it. But somebody said this, in inquiring why the Welsh Revival stopped, why didn't it continue for longer? And one person said, they sang it away. That the singing became more important than the word of God. Now, I don't know whether that's true or whether it was somebody that had an interest along those lines, but I thought it was an interesting thought, because we can chase blessing rather than the blessed one. And we must seek his face first of all, not for what he can do for us or how he blesses us, but just to seek his face, because he is God's. For me, Hosea chapter 13, and particularly these two verses, remind us of the goodness of God. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. I fed you to the point of being satisfied. But the challenge is that we must not become proud, and we must not forget the God who is and the God who blesses us.